Senator Martini joins us on WWO. Just called in. Senator, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just talked to Newell for a little bit.
Well, tell me what's going on.
Well, I will just say this to you. One thing that you're in error on is the staff does not get paid per diem during a special session. The legislature does.
Okay.
We do, and believe me, anybody who goes up there for the per diem, you all ought to vote against anyway, because it's not, believe me, I don't do it for the money. But I don't think anybody's to blame. I think everybody's to blame. It's all this Republican, Democrat, Black caucus, Republican caucus. The bottom line is we as a group, the governor, the Senate, and the state have the obligation to pass a reasonable budget and to fund it. And it has not happened. And I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone, but I'm just going to tell you, I predicted before we went up there, the House is not going to give the governor enough money to pass to fund a reasonable budget. And I think it showed up last night. I think it showed up in the way that we operated, in that we didn't even see the appropriations bill for the first week of the session, of the special session. And everybody wants to say we ran out of time. We shouldn't have run out of time. We could have gone in there and passed the budget that we should have a week ago and got out of there, saved the state the money for the per diem or whatever. And it's only going to be when everybody decides to work together and to try to come up with a reasonable solution to a problem that in their defense, the new House members did not create the problem. Governor Jindal did. But nonetheless, we have the obligation to solve it. And you don't solve it by doing nothing. And that's what we've done in these last couple of sessions.
All right, so what should the penalty be if these sessions continue to go on? And by the way, what is a per diem?
I think it's about $140 a day,
mm-hmm.
but it's, again, depending on where you live in the state, I think once a week they pay for you to, they give you mileage,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, believe me, it's not anything, in a regular year, I think our salaries are like 16,800 plus we get a $5,000 unvouched expense, so I guess it's like 23,800. And I think the highest I've ever gotten in per diem and salary and that is like maybe $32,000.
But what about just in theory? What if we just take the per diem away, just in theory? Like, okay, if you can't do this in one special session, if it goes into a special session, we're going to cut this out. I mean, it may not be a lot of money to you, but what if just in theory we cut that out?
Well, the reverse of that is that if you think that is the carrot that everybody works for, then they'll just start passing budgets that don't make a whole lot of sense because they don't want to have to come back and work for nothing. I don't think that's the case. I think you hit it right on the head. I think there are some people on both sides of the building that are not happy with the fact that John Bel Edwards is the governor. And I've worked, tomorrow I'll have been in the legislature for 24 years, and I've worked for six different governors, or five, I'm not sure. And each one has their different way. And if it was a Republican, I worked with him. If it was a Democrat who I didn't support, I still work with him. That's what we have to do. And I don't see that happening now. And I think it's terrible. I think we're becoming more and more like Washington. I mean, I'm not going to have to deal with it because I'm leaving in a year. But it scares me to think that it's just a question. What's good for the state does not depend on who the governor is. We have. We have to fund vital services and people rely on us to do it, and they really don't care about our politics. At the end of the day, we need to put aside the politics and do our job. And we didn't do our job, and we should be highly criticized for it, everyone.
Well, highly criticized, and then I think one little minor thing. Again, I'm not going to harp on this too much, but, I like penalties for people who don't do their job and don't do the job they should do.
No, well, yeah, but I can't make you agree with me. I think it sounds good on paper, but I mean, look, we could have solved it last night. We could have solved it a week ago, but they didn't want to.
So this is politics. This is just politics at play.
I think it's a combination, but yes, politics does play into it. But at the end of the day, you have to look. When I first got in the legislature, the activities of the House were pretty much determined by Sherman Copeland, John Ilario, Charlie Lancaster, Pepe Bruno, and Charlie DeWitt. And between them, we had our political fights and everything. But at the end of the day, we were able to work together because there was an emphasis on them working together, and we got.
Okay, so what has changed today? Because we can go back on a national level and see that Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, really, they were bitter rivals, but they found ways to work together. So, Senator Martini, what is it going to take to convince the legislature to work together?
I will tell you, social media has been a terrible problem because. And people are affected by it. You know, I ran in a race last year. I lost. I'm not real good at social media. My opponent was, and credit to him. But partisanship. There's the Americans pretty much laid down the gauntlet for those people who are going to be running next year, saying if you don't vote the way we like, we're going to spend at least $100,000 against you. Okay, and that's not, look, I'm all for the Americans for Prosperity, but they shouldn't be calling the shots. We need to be voting based upon the needs of our constituents, not based upon the political needs of the Americans for Prosperity not just them. There's other various business lobbies that really have way too much influence on what we do. And at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the end of the last night's session in the House, and you've got a representative who's beating his chest because he's going to run the clock out and make sure we don't get the vote to fund the budget, that scares you, and that's unfortunately what happens up there. And look, I'm not the knight in shining armor. I guess I've done my share of bad votes. But, you know, after you do that, you got to clean it up and you got to fix it, and we haven't done that.
Do you think now that you're leaving, do you think you have a different attitude toward all of this than you did when maybe you were younger?
Well, let me just say this to you. That my strength, and if you talk to people who know me, I got up there in 94, and I was a Republican in a highly Democratic House. And I learned early on, You can't rely on partisanship completely because you don't have enough votes. So where I think my strong point has always been is I'm willing to work across party lines and try to put together votes. I did that with the Justice Reinvestment last year. The problem you run into is when people, you know, if you talk to people who watch the process, they'll tell you, Martini's a very effective legislator. He did this, he does it. But when they read that I voted with a Democrat on a bill, then all the social media says, oh, he's a rhino. He's not really a Republican. No, and you know what? I don't really care about that as an effective legislator who doesn't let partisanship get in the way of what's right. But that's where I think the problem's going to be. Look at Washington. In Washington, I mean, it's pretty much down the line. You know, this is very seldom do you see a bipartisan measure get out of there, because it's, you know, the Republicans don't like what Trump does, doesn't like what the Democrats do, and the Democrats don't like what Trump does. So I think we're becoming more and more like Washington, and it's sad to say, but, you know, that's probably why it's good that I'm leaving.
It is sad, Senator, because, you know, there was a time not that long ago when the difference between a Republican and a Democrat on a state or municipal level didn't mean as much as it meant nationally, and now it's starting to mean just as much as it
terrible.
Does nationally.
You're correct. You're correct, and I'm telling you, it's not going to get any better because there are people behind the scenes that are doing everything they can to keep a Republican majority, and I'm fine with that. But to be threatening people that if you don't vote this way, and look, I know for a fact that there were business leaders going around the legislature last year telling some of the newer House members who had just gotten there, if you vote for this tax, we will have somebody in your race. And, you know, I'm not real good at responding to threats like that, but some of these people are. And I think that if you go talk to most of the representatives, there's a lot of them that wanted to vote for the half penny, but they were scared to death to do so because, of, you know, and that's sad.
Very quickly,
I think it was the right thing to do.
I've got to get you right. Very quickly, what advice do you have for voters of the state?
I think you need to call your legislators and tell them how disappointed you are in what they've been doing and what they've not been doing, and demand that they get in there and balance the budget and pay for the necessary services that they are entitled to as taxpayers.
All right, Senator Martini, thanks for spending time with us.
Anytime,
I appreciate it.